This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hey, we're live at Gulfstream Park on this Friday. Crowder's already hitting him in the head at the casino.
Roulette, that little ball loves me, Hawk.
Was playing a little roulette with his wife, Asia.
Yep.
Caught a couple of numbers.
Plinked that 7. I'm going to hit that 11 coming up soon. 23 going to come around. That's why I play it for you.
And, how much did the 6 pay to show? Is that like what? I can't even see it. 360 maybe?
9-1.
Because I had money across the board on the 6 here in the third race, and the 6 came in third. I'll take that little ticket,
little something
for the effort.
And you swing back around,
You just like to start the afternoon with a winner.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a winning ticket, because I probably invested more money in that ticket than I'm going to get back. But you like to be able to get a little something back.
Yes.
Just to let the casino, the horse, the track know, hey, I'm here, and I'm making my stand
you
today.
You done spent 100 and made 33 back.
I let them know.
They going to give me.
Let them know.
They going to give me my 33.
We're at Gulfstream Park. You've got the Florida Derby tomorrow here at Gulfstream Park. How about the Marlins? Walk-off opening day win for the Marlins yesterday. I love that.
Stover?
Is that his name?
Stover.
Stower? I think Stower.
That's big old white boy there, man.
Man, that was an exciting moment in a season that is promising to have not many of those. So it was very cool to have that on opening day. Heat won their third in a row. They handle Atlanta, no problem. Florida Derby, like I said, tomorrow here at Gulfstream Park. Brad Marchand expected to make his Panthers debut tonight in Sunrise. And your Florida Gators, as someone just walked up to the bar and was talking to us about, your Florida Gators handled their business last night, punched their ticket to the Elite Eight.
Rolling, too.
Yeah.
We still beat people by 20.
Yeah.
Other teams are fighting.
That Florida team looks good, man.
Yeah.
Florida team looks good.
Playing Texas Tech. They ain't got a chance.
Enjoy it, because we all remember a couple seasons ago with the Hurricanes going to the Final Four, and it's not guaranteed to happen on the regular. If you watched Hurricane basketball the last couple of seasons, it is not guaranteed to happen on the regular, so enjoy it. Today, everybody's with us on a very special day. Not only are we live at Gulfstream Park, today happens to be National Something on a Stick Day. And for listeners of this show, I believe it's one of Solana's greatest moments in comedy. National something. What did that take place on National something on a stick day, or was that for something else, Solana?
That was just when you used to actually read the show sheet.
So it was just something you had on the show sheet, and then you had created a top 10 or a Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, so it was for National something on a stick day. I put together the list. You never read the show sheet. Months later, in the middle of the summer, you just happened to be flipping through, and, you know, it led to one of, I think, the greatest moments in this show's history.
I'm not even going to deny that, so we'll play that today because... It's one of it really is one of my favorite moments on the show. National something on a stick day.
Do we have a show sheet still?
We used to get a paper copy.
Oh, okay.
And that's then we stopped going in, and so it was unless Asia was going to print one out, Lori was going to print one out and hand it to me. The days of the paper show sheet.
This is our fault.
Yeah, it went by the wayside. We have one final pair of tickets for The Offspring. They're coming with Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory to the I Think Financial Amphitheater in West Palm Beach this summer, and it's a Live Nation show, and we've been giving away a pair of tickets for that every day this week. We've got one more pair to give away today. Mike Cugno is going to join us. He was at Marlins opening day. Are you watching the fourth race right now? Fourth race going off here?
I hit him.
Oh, no, that's not the fourth race. Fourth race is still 18 minutes away.
Oh,
that's a replay.
Man.
You're watching a replay.
I thought I hit him. I had two.
You're watching a replay.
I need to.
18 minutes till post for the fourth race here at Gulfstream Park. Florida Derby tomorrow. That is a huge day of racing. By the way, the... Florida Derby tomorrow. It's a full day of live racing. 14 races on the card. First post is 11:30 a.m. And you can go to GulfstreamPark.com for all the info. We've got Solana and Jimmy back in the studios in Miami as we're here in Hallandale Beach with Tree, our on-site engineer. And we will begin today's show with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Yeah, man. Shout out Stowers with the base hit to right field. And he walks it off. Guys, that's the first walk-off on opening day in Marlins history.
Is that so? Wow, that's pretty cool.
They play again.
And Xavier Alexander?
Yeah.
The shortstop guy?
Yeah, Xavier Edwards.
Sorry, Xavier Edwards.
Thought it was your guy. Isn't he in your phone book?
He is. Yeah, Edwards is his last name.
Okay, because if you have him in there as Xavier Alexander, you may be texting the wrong guy.
I'll never contact him.
Yeah.
He had a hell of a game, too.
You're talking about Xavier Alexander Arnold that plays for Liverpool?
And his name right there.
I see that, yeah.
5-6-1.
I did not hit my winner on Matt Mervis to hit a ding-dong, but I'm doing it again tonight.
I don't know if you're going to ride this Mervis train.
Mervis going to hit a ding-dong in the opening series, and I am going to cash a ticket.
I hit my over 6.5.
Yeah, you did.
But I didn't. I didn't really put a lot on it.
Let's see what Mervis ding-dong is tonight. Mervis ding dong plus +575. I mean, they're just giving away free money. How about two ding dongs? Mervis, two. No, they don't have a prop for two ding dongs for Mervis. They do for Tommy Pham and Andrew McCutchen and Joey Bart. None for the Marlins, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he went 0-4 yesterday, Hawk, so he's due.
That's what I think.
Who's pitching for Pittsburgh tonight, though?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Tree. Mitch Keller.
I think I'm going to stay away.
Well, you can't ask that question, Tree, and then throw your hands in the air like it didn't mean anything to you. You better have a better take than that.
I don't know who that is.
Connor Gillespie is pitching for the Marlins. I'll give you my little Connor Gillespie story. Who's got a Connor Gillespie story?
You.
So we went to opening day spring training in Jupiter, Lori and I. Mm-hmm. And it was Marlins Cardinals. And there were a nice lady and her friends sitting next to us. And they went crazy when Connor Gillespie came in for one inning in like the sixth. And chatted up a little bit and with Connor Gillespie's wife.
Really?
And or girlfriend. Wife. Because she ended up talking with Lori throughout, you know, because he threw one inning and they were obviously very excited. And she was sharing her wedding photos with Lori. They had gotten married over the summer, I guess. And I never told her that I was on the radio or whatever. It was just we were just a couple Marlins fans there chopping it up during spring training. But I have an affinity towards Connor Gillespie because I feel like we're very friendly with his wife.
Yeah, we're family now.
Yeah,
huh?
Pretty much.
You start talking to people, man. Leaving people alone.
I mean, you go nuts when Connor Gillespie comes into the game in the sixth inning. You're begging for someone to ask you what's going on.
Big Connor fan from back in high school.
Hawk, so I'm just doing a little bit of research here. I'm trying to handicap for you. Matt Mervis, ding dong.
Yep.
I was not aware, but I'm looking at Matt Mervis's career stats. He's only had 120 at-bats. That includes four yesterday. He's only logged 18 career hits, so his career batting average is 150.
Yeah, remember, he was terrible. Remember, he came from the Cubs,
right.
And everyone's like, Matt Mervis, I mean, the guy's been terrible. He was at one time a top 10 prospect mm-hmm. in the Cubs organization.
Yeah.
He was one of their big prospects. Never panned out. I know what you're going to say. My response is going to be, though, he's never gotten enough at-bats, though, to show you that he can hit ding-dongs. He's never been the cleanup hitter on a Major League Baseball team. He's got to hit ding-dongs for the Marlins.
I'm actually with you, but I'm looking at his splits right now. He has hit home runs successfully in his 120 career at-bats, but he's done it in May and in June. In the months of March and April, two hits only, and zero home runs, zero RBI. So maybe we hold off until May when Mervis is in full swing.
But I'm imagining he didn't get many at-bats because I don't think he was ever an MLB starter before.
And wasn't he raking in the
He was raking in spring training.
There we go.
He has to. Excuse me. Still recovering from an illness, and Tree told me he's gone through the same thing, and this is only the beginning of the bad stuff. He's like, yeah, it cleared up, and then all of a sudden went right to his chest. It's exactly what happened to me.
Take vitamins.
And look at Tree now.
Beautiful man.
But, yeah, I think – so my thought process is at plus 525, if he hits one ding-dong in a four-game series mm-hmm. – that's a net positive if you bet it all four of those games.
That honestly, the math makes sense. I don't know what Mervis is going to do, and you attach.
He's their cleanup hitter. If he doesn't hit a ding dong every now and if he doesn't hit a ding dong every now and then, they're going to be in trouble.
If we don't know if you've attached your cart to a donkey or a horse, but your math makes sense.
Thank you.
How about the Miami Heat, gentlemen? Three straight victories. First time since January 7th through the 12th that they win three consecutive. They beat the Hawks 122-112 last night. A big-time performance from Tyler Hero. Another solid game from the bench. Davion Mitchell and even Kyle Anderson playing big minutes last night.
All right. Good for them. Three in a row. I mean, everyone was ready to jump ship after he had lost 10 in a row, and now maybe they're gelling at the right time.
I would say, because I caped up for Spo, and I heard Amy and Will and them talking about it too, where you add three more players to a roster, and Davion and who the hell else is there? Davion and Wiggins. And like you revamp the starting lineup, it takes time to figure it out. And that's why I was saying it seemed like Spo might have figured something out. It's damn Eric Spoelstra, first ballot Hall of Famer. Leave this man alone.
Those people are taking my takes, but whatever. I mean, that's what I'm telling you guys.
Here's the problem, though.
Amy Otterburg is worried about your take.
We're flipping back and forth on this team like the wind. This team, I have a difficult time saying, because I know what's going to happen. They've won three in a row. They put together a couple more wins. People are going to say, you don't want to face this Miami team in the play-in game or in the first round of the playoffs if they were to make it so far. And I just temper you. There's a Ask Ira I'm going to read later. That's essentially that, where people are like, you know what? Going into next season, Bam, Tyler, and Wiggins is not a bad big three. I swear to God, that's the question. I'm like, wait a second, what are we doing here? Like, they had lost 10 in a row, and people were talking about, hey, maybe you just throw in the towel for the season. And now we're talking about running it back, and our big three is Tyler, Bam, and Andrew Wiggins?
32-41 right now. Have to win out to go 500. We talked about this is a 500 team at best. Are they going to win out? I would say no. But, yeah, Hawk, don't run anything back.
Maybe they're a 500 team because they had less than 30 games to play with one another. Lack of continuity, lack of Andrew Wiggins being healthy. The 10-game losing streak was bad. This team couldn't close games for the most part. But are they really a team that was that bad to lose 10 straight? I feel like we all think they weren't. They definitely underachieved there, shouldn't have lost 10 straight. They had double-digit leads in 7 of those 10.
Bam, Tyler, Andrew, that is not a championship roster. That's not a top three. That's not a big three.
That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, like, I'm thrilled that they've won 3 in a row, and I'm thrilled that we're not talking about the 10-game losing streak anymore, but let's also slow our roll as to what the ceiling is for this squad.
But I don't think anybody would tell you, hey, run that back because those three and
well,
this team.
That's exactly what the email is to Ira. I mean, okay. that's the exact email. Let's get ready for next season with this three.
Because 2026, not this upcoming offseason, but 2026 is the offseason where the Heat are going to have more flexibility with cap space. You're going to have more free agency options. So instead of threatening that flexibility by going all in this summer on a Kevin Durant and perhaps having to trade multiple first-round picks down the road, you ride it out one more year with this team. See what you got. Inter Miami.
Terrible.
Okay.
Solana.
I see what you're saying. You're not even going to listen to what I'm saying. It's fine. I'm listening to what you're saying.
I'm playing with the light. The tree wanted to play with the light. It gave me a light to
but
play
I,
with.
I listen to what you're saying. It and doesn't. I'll throw in there Kalel Ware, a season more under his belt, and now you've. But I'm not getting fooled by this three-game winning streak. Like, I'm not.
Larry Sopipen coming off the bench. Like, no. Solana, no. I know what you do. You get excited about rosters, and I understand
Heat fans.
It.
Heat fans do this all the time. We did this, 10 years ago with that amazing second half from the Dion Waiters team?
Yeah, 11-30 and 31-11. Everybody thought that was the worst thing that ever happened to the Miami Heat because you re-upped Dion Waiters.
No, but you
Deion
didn't
Waiters
think it was the
James
worst
Johnson.
Thing that happened to the Miami Heat when you were in the middle of it. You were like, oh, my God, this team is really good. They just had a stumble out of the block at the beginning of the season. It ended up being one of the worst things that ever happened, but you didn't think it at the time.
I don't think Heat fans are right now saying, hey, this three-game win streak means that we should run it back with this core because they're going to win a title
next
year.
I'm bringing up the email to Ira that literally says that. You keep saying Heat fans aren't saying this, and I'm telling you, I said later in the show I'm going to read you an email that says just that.
Nah, I don't believe it.
Okay.
If you're in a bad marriage and y'all have a good weekend, that don't mean the marriage is fixed.
That's exactly the example. I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, you had a couple good days. She still hates you.
But you got to work at the marriage. You don't just quit when times are tough.
No, this marriage is bad.
Oh, my
bad.
God, Tree, what are you doing to me with all these
light them up,
I have
Tree.
No interest in all these lights. I mean, I'm dying of Ebola here, and you're flaming me with like I'm doing an 80s concert. All of a sudden, out of his bag,
Circuit
he's Gallagher.
City.
He's like Carrot Top pulling out props.
Tree got a Circuit City in his bag.
trying to sweat it out of you.
Light him up, Tree. Don't turn it towards me.
Towards Crowder. Light sit there with that thing in my eye.
Light him up, Tree.
Comes back from London with an attitude.
You see? Yeah, yeah, a little edge.
But you came back from somewhere with a bag of lights.
Good gracious.
Inter Miami, they host Philadelphia tomorrow. Looks like Leo Messi will be on the team squad. Doesn't mean he's going to play, but he will be available. And couple wild stories. So first of all, the Grizzlies, they fire their head coach, Taylor Jenkins, today. Been with them 5 years. They're 44-29. They're the 5 seed. They're 2.5 games out of the 2 seed. Just a bizarre thing to do 2 weeks before the end of the regular season.
Obviously, something's at play there beyond what meets the eye. Because why would you do this right at the end of the season? I mean, like, even if you hate the guy, you'd kind of ride out the season, I think.
It was like, what's the linebacker that got cut, like, week 15 from the Dolphins? David Long Jr.
Right. And you're like, there's more to than what meets the eye.
Yes, somebody got cussed out. I think that with David Long Jr., and I think that with him. Like, somebody got cussed out, and they had to cut ties.
But he's a good coach. This is a team that a lot of people feel like has overachieved under him being the head coach. So it's just a weird thing. Like, what, one argument between him and Ja Morant? I don't know if that's what happened, but one argument leads to them saying, you know what we're going to do right before a playoff run? We're going to fire you.
Yeah, well, no. It's not with him and Ja Morant. The ownership, somebody, the GM, he cussed somebody out. They had problems for a while, and the breaking point happened, or the straw that broke the camel's back type thing. But you don't fire a guy right before playoffs just to fire him. You're not. We're going to the playoffs, but you're not good enough to coach us in the playoffs. That doesn't make any sense.
Your guy Deion Sanders signed an extension. He's going to stay at Colorado through the 2029 season.
That's a far-fetched.
Mike Mayo stopping by. He's got his program. He's got a to-go bag. I mean, the guy the guy lives the Let's Eat South Florida lifestyle.
There's no way Deion's at Colorado through 2029.
It would shock me.
No way.
But remember Dusty May at FAU coming off that Final Four run, signed like a 10-year contract.
Yeah.
And
where's Dusty now?
Michigan.
Michigan State?
Where is he?
Shador and Shiloh are about to go to the NFL. Yeah. I don't know if he's staying around with his sons not being at Colorado. Just my opinion.
Threw him the bag, though.
I think Deion has a big bag already.
Yeah.
Sweet 16 continues tonight. Your Gators did win, and Duke just looked ridiculously good, man. Ridiculously good. Caleb Cooper Flag, I mean, is like, so lives up to the hype.
So Duke wins and they look ridiculously good. Mm-hmm. The Gators dominate for 2 halves and the game's not even close, but they just win. You're a hater.
I mean, who'd you guys beat? Maryland? Like, nobody even knows anything about Maryland.
4 seed Maryland?
Well, then your team, Solana? Aren't you all about the Terps?
Maybe, but I mean, not anymore. I mean, nobody knows anything about Maryland. Nobody even knows their mascot.
Duke was in a single-digit game. The Gators had a 16-point lead the entire game, 16-plus.
Ole Miss plays Michigan State today. Kentucky, Tennessee, that's a 2-3 matchup. At 7:30, Michigan-Auburn is at 9:30. Purdue-Houston is at 10. Tomorrow, Texas Tech and Florida play at 6. And the Elite Eight, Alabama-Duke, that's a 1-2 at 9 p.m.
All right. A tree sadly putting away his lights.
Light his ass up, tree.
Just in like a very, very dejected fashion, just unscrewing the light, putting it back in his bag.
Light him up, tree.
That's what he was trying to do. Feel like we got off to a rocky start, tree, you and I. Sorry, buddy. Pretty lights.
Pretty.
your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Nice afternoon in South Florida. I don't know if the Marlins will have the roof open today at Lone Depot Park. I'll try to find that information out as they'll play later today at 7. That's your weather.
All right, Mike Cugno is going to join us in the next segment. He was at Lone Depot Park yesterday for the Marlins opener, and we can talk a whole bunch of stuff with him in the next segment, so don't go anywhere. We're live at Gulfstream Park in beautiful Hallandale Beach, Florida.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
What is life if you can't have arroz con pollo?
Hawk and Crowder.
We are live at Gulfstream Park in beautiful Hallandale Beach. You've got the Florida Derby tomorrow here at Gulfstream Park. Very, very big day of racing, and it will be packed. And we're up in Ten Palms right now all afternoon in a beautiful setting, of course. As always, we enjoy our broadcast at Gulfstream Park at Ten Palms. So on our video feed, we can see Mike Cugno from CBS4, and I saying to Crowder off the air, I said, oh, look at that head of hair. Do you know what I could do with that head of hair? And Crowder said, yeah, lose it. I've seen your track record.
It's out of here. 15, 20 days, it's gone.
See how I get treated, Cugno? Mike Cugno is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, sports anchor and reporter for CBS4 here in Miami. You see him nationally on CBS Sports HQ. I mean, just a beautiful head of hair. And I feel like you're kind of throwing it at me by just kind of letting it dangle.
So I saw you guys laughing, but all I hear is the commercial. And I just know, I'm like, these two are roasting me. So I'm going to pretend like I'm ignoring them.
Nope, it was me.
And just off in the distance.
It was me who was getting roasted, man. Because I said it genuinely. Like, I thought I was going to be met with, oh, yeah, man, if you had that head of hair. And he literally, I mean, cut my legs out from under me, but he's not incorrect. The back and forth was perfect because I'm just like, oh, what I could do with that head of hair. Do you know what I could do with that head of hair? And Crowder lose just, but I'm missing a beat. Yeah, you'd lose it. I've seen your track record.
Like it's a set of keys.
Like we're in the track. If number six lost 8 races in a row, number six is about to lose again. I've seen this hair.
Man. Rough to be me. Rough way to go into the weekend. Anyway, Mike Cugno, you were at the Marlins opener yesterday. That's an exciting way to start off a season. I think most people are expecting probably still the worst this season when it comes to the Marlins. But that was a fun way to start the season off.
It was especially because I think like once it was like 4-1, everyone's like, oh, you know, here we go. This is kind of what we expected. And they kept battling, to their credit. A little scrappy team that they have there. Is it going to be like this every night? No, because you're not going to have Sandy out there holding it down for 5-6 innings like he did yesterday. So, you know, you just got to take the good with the bad. Everything I've talked to Clayton McCullough a few times this offseason and even yesterday before the game. I mean, it's a process. Getting this all together is going to be a process. Just I think everyone should just, my opinion, temper your expectations and enjoy those moments when you see this young team. They're the youngest team in baseball. Their average age is like 26 years old. That's crazy. I mean, these guys are barely out of college, essentially, and it's a big league club. So just enjoy the fun moments and you know, give them a little bit of grace here.
And, Mike, to that point, like you're saying, it's not going to happen every night. And one of the lowest payrolls, youngest team in baseball. Are they whistling through the graveyard? Like, as an organization, like you're talking about, like the GM and the players, do they know what's going on? Or are they trying to have, like, this, you know, movie run where, hey, what was that? The
Moneyball?
With Willie Mays, Hayes, and all of them. Do they think they're going to come back from the bottom and work their way
Bad
up?
Bad news bears.
No. Major leagues. Like, does the organization know? The guys in the lower side see what's going on and know that?
I had to, like, figure out what I was going to say here because you caught me with whistling through the graveyard. I'd never heard that, and that just kind of threw me off. But
I never heard that either. That happens to be a good phrase. I like that.
Yeah, your ass is scared, but you acting like you ain't
right.
Scared.
Yeah, whistling through the graveyard. Everything's going to be fine, and you know that
it's not.
It ain't going to be fine.
Let me tell you something. every time I come on the show, I am whistling through the graveyard. All right. I'm just trying to get through the 20 minutes without getting fired from some of my jobs. That's what I said. I think the expectations are what they are. They know what the payroll is. They see the numbers I just threw at you in terms of age and pitching staff. We saw the injuries coming into the year. I think there was a little bit of crossing your fingers with what would happen with Sandy in his first start, but he looked good. Was it 91 pitches yesterday? Had took a no hitter into the fifth. Like that was a promising thing. Every five games, you're gonna get. There's hope there. But it's just, what are we going to expect? And so that's why I find like the next two or three games, I think we'll learn a little bit more about this team in terms of what they really are because of those unknowns.
You said temper your expectations. I think that's fair because you're talking about how young they are. I mean, Mike, this is a minor league team, but you have a Cy Young Award winner in Sandy. Gut feeling, should Marlins fans go take advantage of the fact that he's still in a Marlins jersey as many times as possible when he's at home this year?
Look, I mean, if we don't look at history, then shame on us, right? So yes, I would. If you're a Marlins fan, you're trying to figure out which games to go to. Sure, depending on the opponent, some of that's pretty cool. Like when the Angels used to come into town with Trout and Ohtani, like that was a big ticket. Look, man, like go see Sandy, enjoy him while he's here. Hopefully, he's here for a long time. History in this area has not been kind to Marlins fans. Oftentimes, this guy, look at him. He is a prime candidate, right, to be traded for even more prospects considering what they've done so far. I think the hope is that you find some way that you can, that they keep him and they don't let that go because there were some fun pieces that the Marlins let go of and some guys who wanted to be here, like Luis Arraez. Like, that was a fun guy to watch. Watching him go out and lead the National League or MLB in hitting, it gave you something to root for. Go out and root for Sandy because he's that guy, right? And you just don't know how long you'll have him.
What did you eat yesterday at the ballpark? What did you have? I mean, it's opening day. You get to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. We talked to Giselle Espinales. She had the juiced balls. She said she goes for the hot dog. What was it? What kind of hot dog is it again, Solana, that she was talking about? The perro?
Yeah, it's Colombian hot dogs, Colombian street hot dogs, perros calientes.
So everyone, you get there, it's opening day. I mean, you want to just vibe with baseball. It's been gone for so long. So, Cunha, what did you enjoy at the ballpark yesterday?
So I went up to the media dining, and I paid my, my little $14 for the buffet, and there's a lady back. Well, it's not a buffet because they serve you, but she goes, rice? I was like, nope, I'm good. Mashed potatoes? Nope, I'm good. I'll just take the chicken. And she loaded me up, and I'm not even kidding. She hooked it up, like 8 chicken thighs. It was awesome.
The traditional baseball meal of 8 chicken thighs?
8 chicken thighs. And, I see Solana trying to push this thing with the helmet and croquetas. Just put the chicken thighs in a helmet for me, and I'll just – I'll scoop that out. So that's what I had. And of course, I had my black coffee.
Hawk, Cunha DM'd me.
Actually, two green apples.
He DM'd me that croquetas suck. I mean, it's his worst take of all time. He thinks croquetas suck.
Well, Crowder doesn't love croquetas either.
Meat paste fried?
I said they're overrated. Thank you. They're overrated. And sometimes when you get to, like, they're all mushy and stuff and like moist, like, no, come on, man.
They're mush, Mike. I'm with you.
Yeah,
they are mush.
Thank
it's
you.
Meat mush fried is what a croqueta is.
Empanadas over croquetas every single time.
Well, that I agree with. Yeah. But that almost sounds like a prison meal. 8 chicken thighs and a black coffee, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, that's sad. And 2 green apples?
And 2 green apples. Like that's some sort of
No, come on now. Come on, I woke up humming this morning. Everyone else is dragging a little bit, but not Cunha. He's ready to go.
No hot dog, no pretzel, no popcorn, no cotton candy.
No. I had popcorn. A little bit of popcorn.
Mike, I've been around guys that have strict diets and I didn't do it. I ate chicken wings, drank beer my whole life. I'm gonna do it today. Are you a guy that takes pride in having a tight diet, or do you kind of hold your plate and go to the corner because you don't want
he wants everyone to see it.
He wants everyone to see it. Green apple.
Listen, no. The thing is, it's just become a part of who I am now. It's not even that I think about it. It's like what you see the menu and you go, yeah, that's what I like. You know, and in the beginning you had discipline, but now that's just what I like. And so when I see the chicken thighs, I go with the chicken thighs. Like, that's it.
And because I was in ketosis a couple weeks ago, I was telling the guys.
He was actually in cirrhosis, but go ahead.
Do you talk about your dieting? Because when I was telling them I have now hit ketosis, they made fun of me for hours.
Yeah, no, I try not to because I know how like douchey that sounds. So I like if people ask me about it, I'll tell them, but I don't go around going, oh, you shouldn't eat this or you shouldn't eat that. No, I'm not here to be happy. Do you?
I'm just entering streptococcus. It's very similar, but not
keep
exactly
whistling through
same.
That. Keep whistling through that cemetery, man. Just make it up.
I'm telling you, Mike.
So
they hate on ketosis now.
Cuno,
I might be in ketosis right now.
Cuno, the Heat, all of a sudden they've put together 3 wins in a row after losing 10 in a row. Yep. Could you contort yourself into a pretzel to make the case that this is a good time for the Heat to gel and get hot, and maybe we'll be talking about, hey, you don't want to end up playing this Heat team in the play-in round or in round one. Like, are you starting to now flip on the way you may have felt during the 10-game losing streak?
Cooper Flagg, who? We don't need that guy. I mean, come on. Now, listen. I agree with always trying to win. I'm not in the boat of let's tank for hopefully the ping pong ball bounces your way. My thing with this Heat team is, and again, this is like history repeating itself with like the Marlins, don't fall in love with the idea of running it back. We know that there are deficiencies on this Heat team. We've seen it happen in the past, the year with Deion Waiters and James Johnson. Like they ran that back because of an epic run. Make sure that you are tempering how much you fall in love with this Heat team and what they are able to do, even if they can go on a run, because we know they are still devoid of that superstar that can push them over the edge.
And is this I was saying it earlier, Mike, like an ode to Spoelstra, where he's going to take whatever you give him and make a hell of a meal, but you can't be tricked by what he's making because he's one of the best chefs in the world, Hall of Fame, first ballot head coach.
Yeah, what's your question? Sorry.
I was going to say, like, is Spo trick – to your point, Spo tricks us into thinking teams are better than they are because he's going to figure out how to do it, but you have to look in totality of what this roster and what the team really is.
Well, right. You have to look. And it's a credit to Spo that he's able to do this and maximize all the talent out of a group or an individual. But again, I think you have to, like, live in reality. That you see the teams that are competing at the top, and they've got the Lucas, they've got the LeBrons, they've got the Steph Currys, they've got the Giannis. In the NBA, you have to have those guys to win, to at least to win big. You can make the playoffs every year, sure, but how far are you going to keep going? I mean, we even saw it with Jimmy. I mean, there was a limit to Jimmy Butler's superpowers. There are tiers, there are levels to this. And until you have one of those guys, you're not going to be a true contender.
Doesn't really matter, though, Mike, because the Heat already won their title on Tuesday, blowing out the Warriors and spoiling Jimmy Butler's return. So it really doesn't matter.
It was nice to feel something for, you know, for a change. It was a while. You felt something. The way Bam came out in that game was awesome.
What do you think of Jimmy's antics, though? I was so disappointed. We got on the air Wednesday. I think you were off Wednesday. Yeah. I thought the Heat did everything right, kind of extending an olive branch and giving him the video tribute. I thought it was, and again, I thought his entire exit here was small, but I thought Tuesday night he was particularly small by not dapping up Spo, Bam, Tyler, Mickey Arison, before or after. Like, I'd almost give him a mulligan before the game. Okay, he's locked in, but afterwards to just walk off. I was really disappointed by him Tuesday night.
Yeah, and then conversely, you see what what the Warriors did with Andrew Wiggins, right? So none of it looks good for Jimmy because of the way it unfolded. Yeah, I mean, look, he got beat, so he's probably a little upset about that. Was probably hoping for a better quote unquote homecoming or reunion, I guess I should say. But
now play harder if you want a better homecoming.
in that moment, I think you would like. Who's the only person he said hi to? Was it Kevin Love? Like pregame, other than that.
Hence Kevin Love's nipples, which I saw that.
He did?
That was weird. Yep.
And Alec
he
Burks.
He walked up behind Kevin Love and pinched his nipples, and I was thrown off a little bit.
That's how I'm going to greet you from now on.
If you better not.
Yeah, that's how I'm
going to
greet you.
Okay, well, it's going to be ass whooping.
Right. That's how I'm going to greet you, Cuño.
I love this whole box setup, by the way. It's like you guys talking about each other's nipples, but it's like a Brady Bunch thing. Like, one's looking over at the other. I don't even know.
But I think we should have this set up for us, like, all weekend long. Just go about our business, and we're always able to check in on each other.
I hate it.
You know, like, the four of us are just always living together vicariously through each other.
Mike, when Hawk was traveling, he kept texting me, I just landed in Paris. I just got off the train.
You got to tell your friends.
No, you
have to tell your friends. Yes, you do. You have to tell your friends when you're safe. When you have arrived somewhere safely, you let your friends know.
5 a.m.
I do this with my parents. I do this with my parents. I text them, taking off, love you, land.
Right.
Landed. Of course. Have a good trip. Yeah. Love you too.
Of course.
Come on.
Of course.
You're a grown up.
I'm still my mom's baby. Come on.
Hawk's not my baby.
I'm kind of your baby.
Not with that attitude.
Not with that head of hair. All right. Mike Cuño from CBS4. He's had enough fun at my expense today.
I didn't make fun of you.
Oh, I know what you were doing with that head of hair, flipping it around on the video monitor.
I got the fade today.
Yeah, look at what he's doing there.
Get that fresh fade. Yeah, it looks good.
The muscles showing or whatever. Mm. Unbelievable. I don't even know if I'm going to flick your nipples when I see you next time.
Hey, Mike, no one, you wear undershirt?
Oh, I forget. This is an audio medium. I'm here covering myself.
Hawk, don't touch nobody's nipples, man. That's too
far. Jimmy Butler can do it. I can do it.
No, but I don't touch my
nipples. Nah, I don't even know. Yeah.
Don't touch Mike's nipples.
Well, maybe. See. I mean, works out for a reason.
Great stroll through the cemetery.
Graveyard.
Let me tell you. Great stroll.
We whistled through the graveyard.
We almost got there. Like, almost made it out clean.
See you, Cuño. Have a great weekend. Enjoy some chicken thighs.
Love you all.
All right. Love you back.
Side of green apple.
Can you imagine opening day? 8 chicken thighs and a black coffee. You wouldn't believe that if it was in a movie script. You'd go, this just isn't believable.
No, like, this is a killer.
4 pieces of popcorn, too, please. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back from Gulfstream Park.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I think healthier food actually just tastes better.
Ridiculous.
Hawk and Crowder.